When I say that, you think of a movie, right? How many of you ladies like that movie, The Inheritance? Okay, my wife and my daughter, that's it. Man, that's disappointing. Okay, ladies, I guess that's a movie you need to watch. I've never watched it, but you ask Karen about that one. When we think of The Inheritance, it conjures up all sorts of different things. When I think of it, it's a movie, even though I've never watched it. When some people think of inheritance, they think, oh, I hope I get a lot. Right? Todd, right? You hope you get a lot from your dad someday. We think of inheritance and man, can I get it from my parents? Or what all am I going to get? Or what's going to happen? Or wow. Or how much can I leave? How much am I going to leave my kids? Or what am I going to do with my assets once I'm gone? You can't take them with you. As we think about that aspect of life, aren't you thankful that we've been given an inheritance in Christ Jesus? And there are so many blessings that we can remember. Well, as we turn to Joshua chapter 13, we're reminded of an inheritance that the children of Israel received. It was something that they got, not because they deserved it. When we think about inheritance, it's not generally something you deserve or earn. Maybe it's, well, I'm the oldest in the family, so I deserve something. Or what? But the reality is, what did you do to get to that position? An inheritance is something given that you don't necessarily deserve. The children of Israel did not deserve the Canaan land, the promised land. And yet God had promised it and had then given it to them. In Joshua 1, we see the beginning of coming into this promised land. We see them entering and crossing over the Jordan and the victory that God had given as they went from one city to another, and God helped them as they conquered the land. And I think, man, they've battle after battle after battle. And yet here we come to Joshua chapter 13, and we're reminded that the battle isn't over. That just because Joshua is old and he's nearing the end of his life doesn't mean that's it. But that Joshua has so much more to do in his life, and so did the children of Israel. An inheritance doesn't mean it's finished. Sometimes it's just the beginning. Father, we thank you for your love. God, I pray that you would work in our hearts, that you would teach us as we open up your word. Would you make a difference in a way that only you can today? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. As we think about the inheritance, sometimes in life we go through some difficulties and struggles. Often in life we go through difficulties and struggles. And the Apostle Paul reminds us in the book of Romans that really that which is to come is so worth all that we go through. And the body groans and aches for those things. And yet the inheritance is promised. It has been given. We haven't necessarily received all of it yet, but it has been given. And we think about this with Joshua and the children of Israel. Moses, God used Moses to give land to the children of Israel, and they hadn't all received it yet. And here we're reminded in Joshua chapter 13 that they're beginning to divide out this land, the inheritance that God had given to them. And as we stop and we ponder about their inheritance, I want us to see some of the ideas of the spiritual and the physical benefits of the inheritance. And there were aspects of that, and we see that as it was carried out to the different tribes of the nation of Israel. There's that physical aspect, but there is the spiritual aspect as well that we will look at. But it's not simply the different aspects of the inheritance, but the blessings that we get from God. And not just that we can leave here rejoicing, and we should, but that we leave here rejoicing, remembering what verse number 1 says as God speaks to Joshua. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. You may say, well, man, I've lived lots of my life on earth. I've been saved for many years, and I've lived here on earth, and I've tried to live for God. There's still so much to do. Just because you're at that point of maybe retirement age or wherever it may be in life doesn't mean it's time for you to sit back and relax. Joshua here, as he's at this point of retirement age, he's old and stricken in years, God says there's so much more to do. And it doesn't matter your age. There's so many opportunities to serve God. Whether it be right here in the local church building as we gather together on Sundays or Wednesdays in the teaching opportunities or ministering in music or so many different other aspects of service here. But as we serve God, as we go out of these doors, entering the mission field that God has called us to and reaching out to the lost and the dying, there are so many more people who need to be saved. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And as we think about the inheritance that God has given us, He doesn't want us simply to hold it and hide it and be stingy with it. When we think about parents giving us an inheritance or whatever it may be, it's not just them being stingy with it and saying, it's mine and I'll bury it in the grave with me. But the reality of passing it on. And as we've been given an inheritance in Jesus Christ, there are so many others who need to receive that inheritance. Something we didn't earn, something we didn't deserve, but that others can get and receive from Jesus. The children of Israel, they went and they conquered because God gave them the land. God gave them the victory. They received this inheritance. But there was so much more yet to do. And the message this morning, we're going to be flipping back and forth between a few different locations. Our text, of course, is Joshua 13. But we'll go quite a bit back to Joshua chapter 1. But we'll also compare quite a bit in the book of Philippians. And so keeping those different aspects in mind, we'll be going back and forth quite a bit between those books. So if you want to mark those, this would be an opportunity for you to do that. Number one, as we think about our inheritance, we're reminded that we can claim our inheritance. Claiming your inheritance requires working. Claiming your inheritance requires work. Now, sometimes we think about that in the aspect of getting an inheritance from someone who's passed away. Well, what work is there? Well, sometimes there's the work of the probate and the process of whether it be the court going through or whether it be the executor of the will going through that whole process. There's work that needs to be done. I had a young man that was friend with him, and he's an accountant for the county of Muskegon. And when his mom passed away, he got to be the executor of her will. And wow, what a job, he said that was. The work that was involved with filing taxes, even after she'd passed away, filing taxes for the estate, and so many different things that were involved in that work of the inheritance that him and his sisters were going to receive. And as we think about inheritance, yes, it's not working for our salvation. We don't have to work for that. Aren't you thankful for that? And the children of Israel, in one sense, they were given this land from God, but there was effort they needed to step forth. As we give our announcements a few minutes ago and we show opportunity after opportunity, these opportunities are opportunities for us to worship God and to serve God through those, not to somehow earn our salvation or earn our keep at Jeruel Baptist Church. These are opportunities to work for God so that others can receive that inheritance as well. Why is it that we have some of these different opportunities, these events, so that others can come, one, build a relationship, have opportunities to share the gospel, others can grow. We've got our different service schedules and Bible studies. And why? So that we can grasp what that inheritance is and live for God. Claiming your inheritance requires work. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1, the Lord said, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Man, they had gone through battle after battle, victory after defeat after victory, right? Ai, there was some defeat there because of sin. And yet they experienced that victory again. So claiming this inheritance from God required work. Did God need them to use to discipline the nations that were there? No. And yet He chose to use them. They could have sat on the east side of the Jordan and done nothing. And God had cleared out the land and said, go march in. But He said, there's work you need to go. There's much land yet to be possessed. And they had to trust and obey. A song that we often sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. The whole idea of an inheritance, trusting God and obeying as He leads and as He directs us through His Word. Claiming your inheritance requires working. Acknowledge that there is work ahead. Back in Joshua chapter 1, they did this. Back to verse 10. Joshua chapter 1, verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." Unto the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and what? Help them." There was work. Yes, they were given land on the east side Jordan, but there was work that they needed to do as a nation, as a group. You may say, "Well, man, I've had my opportunities to teach Sunday school and I've done it all my life." It's someone else's turn. It might be. But that doesn't mean it's not your turn to still help in some way. We have some opportunities in being just a helper in some of our Sunday school classes or in some of our club as we think of even this next year. Yes, BLC is over for the year, but it's not long and it's starting back up. You say, "Well, maybe I'm not going to be a teacher, but could you be a helper? Would you be willing to help in some of those aspects?" Maybe you say, "Well, I can't be involved in some of those things." Will you pray? There's room for all of us to work and serve in the inheritance that God has given us. And when we think about the inheritance God has given us, as Peter reminded us, that yes, there's that eternal inheritance reserved for us in heaven, but Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more what? Abundantly, not just someday, but that we can have His joy unspeakable, full of glory, here on earth. And that we can take His joy and live for Him. As we think about claiming our inheritance that we've been given, you can't receive that if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Maybe you're here and you've just lived life. That inheritance isn't for you. You know, parents generally give the inheritance to their kids as opposed to someone else's kids. If they get an inheritance, right? And we think about that. God has an inheritance for us. But it's for those who are His children. John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." The most important aspect of that way of receiving that inheritance is knowing Jesus Christ as Savior for your sins. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you don't know that He died for your sins and you've not received His gift of forgiveness, will you today? If you have, will you acknowledge that, man, the work for salvation is done. It's finished, as Jesus said. But He wants me to work and serve throughout this life. Laying and building on the foundation that no one else could lay but Jesus Christ, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians. But what am I building with? Wood, hay, stubble? Or precious stones, precious jewels? Claiming your inheritance requires working. Here in Joshua 1, they knew there was work to be had, even though this was the promised land, the land of rest. They'd been slaves for over 400 years, and now here they're entering this land of rest, but there was work to be done, though this work was only done in God's power, not their own. Philippians 1:27, we see this idea of acknowledging there's work as a church family. So we've got a float that will be involved with the 4th of July parade. What for? Just so people can know Jerusalem Baptist Church is in Munith. Well, of course not. The ultimate goal of that is so that God would be glorified, so that kids will get saved, and that families will get saved. And as we think about being involved in that, there's work so that that can be done in a month from today. There's some work for that. And we think about that. What is the purpose as we serve and work in these different aspects and as we share the announcements? It's for the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which He saw in me, and now here to be in me." So He says, okay, so you've been given so much, you can believe, you've believed, you've been given so much, but now there's some suffering that happens sometimes because of the gospel. Maybe as people make fun or other things. But the point is, there's a work that needs to be done. Praise God, you're saved. But there's so much work to be done. There are people. I mean, I think of it almost every service. All the cars that drive by. And I'm glad the window, I see them easier than you do. But I think about all the cars and the people that need to be saved. You drive by the neighborhood that you live in as you're coming to church on Sundays. And you think about all the people who need to be saved. As you go to the grocery store or wherever it may be, the department store, thinking about all the people who need to be saved. The inheritance is for them as well, but they have to receive it. And how can they believe except they hear the word? We're reminded in Romans 10. Are you the preacher, the proclaimer that God wants you to be? There's work to be done. Joshua acknowledged there was work to be done. God told them in Joshua 13, you've worked, but there's more work to do. Go in and possess. There's much land to be possessed. And it wasn't just enough to acknowledge that there's work. They needed to work until the task was finished. Back to Joshua chapter 13. Work until the task was finished. We'll skip down to verse number 13. If we read through a lot of those, and we'll look at some of these others in the beginning, we see so many different names throughout this chapter of people groups. And so many different people represented through them. But as we see in verse number 13, nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Geshurites nor the Maacathites, but the Geshurites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. In spite of all the victory that God had given, there were times when they did not strive, when they did not complete the task God had given them to do. And isn't that true in life sometimes for us? They were given the land to possess. Joshua was told in verse 1, there's so much more to possess. But as we look at the children of Israel and their history, we see that they just didn't expel everybody. Sometimes they just lived among the people. Let them just live there. The work that God had given them to do, they didn't complete it. Joshua chapter 1, back to Joshua 1, verse 15. We looked at verses 10 through 14. But in verse 15, the children of Manasseh, Gad, Reubenites. Verse 15, until the Lord had given your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. They had rest. They had land that they were already given. But it was their responsibility to go and not just go and say, okay, we helped. But go until the task was finished. You remember doing that with your kids, telling your kids, okay, you guys all get together and clean this room. You made the mess. And one of them says, well, I helped. They came back, you know, 30 seconds later, well, I helped. I put whatever it was away. They helped, but they didn't stay until the task was finished. And that's where God wants us to be involved. Someday, if you know Jesus as Savior, you will be where? For eternity. In heaven. Well, let's complete the task God has given us on earth. God has you here for a reason. God has you here in Munich this morning for a reason. You could be somewhere else. But God has you here for a task. Let's be faithful with that task. You know, as neat as Megan and I were communicating some about this Wednesday evening class that she's starting to teach, she said, you know, I was praying where I could serve this summer. Well, and we were praying, God, how can we do just some different things with our kids on Wednesday evening since BLC will be over? Now, what if Megan comes Wednesday and says, okay, I've had it. I've done. Well, that's not her heart, and I know she's so excited that she gets to serve and to complete this task. But that should be our desire, not just for a three-month task, but for life. What God has called you to. Maybe there are areas you've served that time is done and over with for you. Maybe you're not that Sunday school teacher anymore that you used to be. But that doesn't mean your task of serving God is over. There's so much more to do. And we need to serve until it's through. The children of Israel were to do that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, completing their obedience, just continuing to obey. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And we think about that aspect of continuing to do what God has called us to do and obeying His call for life, completing that task. We could go to chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and, what, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a mark to press towards, something to keep in mind, a focus in life, to complete the task God has given you to do. And it may be certain aspect ends at a certain time of life. Okay, this act of serving God in this area is done at such and such a time. But then God has another task for you to serve in. Pastor Bob, he was the pastor here for over 41 years. His time for that has ceased. Does that mean Pastor Bob, because he served God all his life, gets to sit back and do nothing now? Does it? Okay, you heard that, Pastor Bob. Okay. He doesn't, because his task isn't over. How do we know that? Because he's breathing. If God wanted our task here on earth done, wouldn't He take us to heaven? And the reality of the children of Israel, they went into the land, and yes, even remember back in Joshua 1, what were the Reubenites and the Gadites, and what were they told that they could do once they finished helping possess the land? They could go back and do what with their own land? Enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings even here on earth that God has given us. But it's when we let those things distract us from the task that God has called us to do. And they couldn't do that. Yes, enjoy the hobbies that they have. Whatever your hobby may be that God has allowed you to have and do and enjoy. But don't let that distract you from the task. These could have said, well, man, we've got this land and it's nice and we're just going to stay here. Sure, we said we would go, but man, we're at this point of decision. This is a lot easier just to stay here and enjoy the land we've been given. But no, they completed their task. So claiming your inheritance requires work. God has work for you to do here. Are you busy actively serving God? Number two, claiming your inheritance requires trusting. Not just working, but trusting. Who do we have to trust? God. Again, we talked about that. You can never receive the inheritance of salvation unless you trust Jesus as Savior. That Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross for your sin. I mean, think about that. If you have young kids and you're going through discipline issues, this is a great teaching opportunity to teach your kids Jesus died for their sin. Their sin of disobeying. Their sin of rebellion. Saying, no, I won't do that, or whatever. Those are opportunities for us as parents to teach our kids Jesus died on the cross for that sin. And even our saved kids, those who they put their trust in Jesus Christ, it's an opportunity to say, Jesus died for your sin, and look, you're going right back to it. And opportunities to teach through this. But more than just trusting for salvation, claiming your inheritance requires trusting God. Trusting God to keep working. Look back to Joshua chapter 13. Remember verse 1, we said there was much work yet to be done. And in verses 2 and following, it goes through a lot of the land and a lot of the people and a lot of things yet to do. But look at verse number 6. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Mishrephothmaim and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. So yes, they had work to do. Here they had to divide the land. That took work. It took time. God didn't just plot it out and then drop borders and boundaries from heaven and say, boom, that's your section. Boom, that there was the work. But they had to trust God, because what did God say? He said that them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. God would work. Trusting God to keep working. That's what Joshua and the children of Israel did as we looked at chapter after chapter, battle after battle. They had to just keep trusting God and that God would work. And that's how we have to do it in life. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, they were reminded to trust God. Joshua specifically was reminded, trust me. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. But then in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So he's promising. Joshua's just got to trust that this is real. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God was promising him he'd be with him as he was faithful working to claim that inheritance. But Joshua had to just keep trusting God. And what was he to keep in his mind so that he would? The word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Trusting God. Man, if we don't look at the word of God, we don't trust God. We get distracted by whether it be the things of life to enjoy or the things of life to destroy us. They take us down, and but then when we get our eyes on the word of God, we begin to see, wow, God is powerful. God can do this. God has worked in the past. God, you will work in my life. And that's where the children of Israel had to be. As much as they had already seen God work, they had to keep trusting God to do the work. And keep trusting that God would work through them. Now, some of them, they stopped working some of those things. They didn't finish the task. They let some of those peoples just live among them. But they had to trust God, which is the exact same thing in our Christian lives. We trust God to keep working. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful that you can't lose your salvation? I am. We can't lose that inheritance. But aren't you thankful that God will keep working in your heart and life? Now again, just like the children of Israel, there are times we can harden our hearts and that we can put a covering over God's working, whether it's by not listening to the word of God when it's preached, by not spending time in God's word throughout the week on my own, feasting on his word. But as we think about this aspect of trusting God, God will keep working and will keep changing us. I'm thankful for that. I don't want to be who I was last week. Spiritually, I don't. I hope you don't. And even maybe, man, you can say, that was one of the best spiritual weeks in my life. Well, can it get better then? And we can keep trusting God to keep working in our hearts and our lives, growing us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. We think about what Paul is saying to the church at Philippi. He's in many ways thanking them for giving, for the work that God was using him to do. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your what? They had been giving and giving and giving, and yet they still had need. They had to trust God. And Paul is saying, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We can trust God to keep working. Our missionaries trust God to keep providing finances for them. And opportunities that we have as we, not just to pray for our missionaries, but as we give to them financially. But as we think about that, trust God to keep working in life. That he wants to change and continue to make a difference in my life. But not just trust God to keep working, trust God to keep his word. Back to Joshua 13, verse 8. Joshua 13, verse 8. He had said in verse 6 that he would trust him. They were to then divide out the land. Verse 7, divide the land. Verse 8, with whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. God used Moses to lead them out of Egypt. God used Moses to lead them through wandering. But then God used Moses to give them this land. But God keeps His word. And this is just a reminder, as Joshua's he could have gone back and simply he could have said, go back home to your land. You guys have been given land. But he's going back and it's just a reminder, God keeps His word. And aren't you thankful? We can rest secure in that. Ephesians 1 even, that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But they were given the word of God and that God keeps His word. Joshua 1:8. We already read that and really even we memorized that a few months ago. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That is the director for our life today. All these years later, it is the word of God. Because God's word will stand. We said that a couple weeks ago. God's word will stand. And it does. And as we go through life, remembering the inheritance that we've given, let's keep trusting God that His word will be true. We know what Revelation says. We know the prophecy in Daniel, and we know what's coming. And we know His word will stand. We know He's promised a home in heaven if we trust Jesus as Savior. And sometimes those are the things that get us through physical troubles. Just, I can't go on, but I'm looking for that day. I was listening to a message last night as I was on the road and just encouraged. The preacher was sharing how many times he'd been in the hospital, their local hospital, for multiple members in their church. And the nurse just came up and said, I just want you to know in this individual's all her struggling and all the physical pain, she's never lost her Christian testimony. And what makes the difference? Because she remembers that God's word will stand. She remembers the reality that what God has promised is true. This life is short. I'm thinking about it, how short life is. You may have lived 20 years. Man, maybe you're 15 years. Maybe you're 80. But when we stop to think about eternity, what is that? Life is but a vapor. But God's word will stand. And there is an inheritance, and we trust God that He will keep that. And that's what helps us as we continue working for Him and serving Him in the midst of difficulties of life, is trusting God. Psalm 27:13-14. Memory verses. That sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? I had fainted unless I had what? Believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I think some interesting truths about that. The psalmist didn't simply believe that God would be good in heaven someday, but that he would see the goodness of God in the land of the living, right here on earth. Right now, you may be going through a time where it's just like, I can't see that God is good. Maybe you can look back in life and say, man, I can see He was good, but right now I just can't see. But I believe that God will be good and that He is good even in this. Trusting God to keep working, to keep His word. Aren't you thankful we can trust God? But claiming your inheritance doesn't simply require working and trusting. But number three, claiming your inheritance requires waiting. The prodigal son, he wanted his inheritance now. Then he spent it up and he didn't have any more. And man, sometimes there are kids in life who are like, man, I just wish my parents would die because I want their money. I want their stuff. I've heard of families who they go around with different colored stickers and they put stickers on different. This color's mine and that color's yours. And I mean, that'd be a funny trick to play on your parents sometime if you siblings all got together on that, right? But the reality is, that's what I want. I mean, who cares about mom and dad? I want that. That is good. But the inheritance is to wait. Your parents don't just say, well, I've got lots of stuff, I'll leave you, you get 10%. Well, I want it right now. Give me that. Wait a second. The inheritance does require waiting. And the children of Israel had to wait. They were promised the promised land. We think about it, the promised land. It was a promise to them. But they had to wait many years. They were promised the Messiah. In fact, we see throughout the Old Testament the prophecies of the forthcoming of the Messiah. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin. There is waiting. They had to trust God as they looked ahead that, okay, we believe You that You will send a Messiah. We trust as we look back, God, You sent the Messiah. But we continue to believe that God will work and that God's Word will stand in our lives. And there is some waiting. Aren't you thankful that, man, we have some of that inheritance now? There is life and life more abundant. There's the peace that passes understanding and so many spiritual blessings that we have as we trust God and as we continue in His Word and He changes us. But as you claim your inheritance, it requires waiting. It has been given. I mean, back to Joshua chapter 13. Joshua 13, verse number 8. We already read that. But at the end it says, even as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. They had to wait. Yeah, their wives and their kids could stay and enjoy, but they had to go help and be involved. And they had to wait to enjoy it. Joshua chapter 1. And there are some things in this Christian life we have to wait for. We wait for heaven. Aren't you thankful that you know that it's real and that heaven is coming? There's coming a day when no heartaches, no sorrows. What a day, glorious day that will be. And that's real. That's a real part of our inheritance. There are other things that we wait for in the spiritual life as God continues to grow us and change us. God's will. Man, we see what God's doing and leading, but we wait. Wasn't that as we worked, as we were all waiting for one, our family, we were waiting, where is God going to lead us? And you as a church family, who is God going to send us? And God led us all together. There was waiting. How many of you enjoyed that waiting process? I didn't either. We didn't know each other, but God had us all waiting for His timing. And there are things in life we wait for. Right, Megan? September's coming. But it's not today. There's waiting that we do in life. Waiting for God to keep working. And we see this reality that the inheritance has been given. It was given in the past. Joshua 1 verse 11. Pass through the hosts and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. It's been given. Go possess it. And it's been delayed. There are some waiting. That's process. Yes, it's already been given, but some of that is delayed. The inheritance has a future. And seeing the reality of that. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Claiming your inheritance requires waiting. Now maybe you have an inheritance you're waiting to give. I encourage you to think about God's work in your inheritance as well. Setting aside some that after you pass away can continue on for God's work and glory. But as we think about the inheritance that God has given us, we claim that inheritance while working, serving God. We claim that inheritance while we're trusting God to keep working through us and in us and changing us. And we claim our inheritance, and some of it we just wait. God, I'm looking forward to that day. But not getting bogged down in all of the just sitting back and waiting for someday, of being busy, actively serving and working and trusting God today. Father, we thank You for Your love.